Well, as a church, you know, we've been praying for a greater flow of the Spirit, a flow of, you know, the river of God. And, you know, sometimes we think of the river of God, we think of the vision in Ezekiel, where there's a river flowing out from the temple. And, you know, that's going to be literal in the millennium. You know, as we understand what the Lord is going to do in the millennium, he has his plans and purposes. But of course, we want something today, right? We don't, millennium's a while away. So Lord, we're looking for a river now. But you know, the picture of that temple in the millennium is also a type of what God wants to do in his church. He wants to build up his church so that a river flows out from us. A river of life, a river of strength and healing. Of course, that's birthed by the Spirit. It's not something we produce. But I wanted to bring out a thought concerning this, you know, and we're going to read the words of Jesus, but to understanding how there's a personal component associated with the river that we're looking for in the church. And so let's read John 7:37. And it's kind of the famous passage where Jesus stands up and he's talking about a river flowing out because the, you know, the Jewish leaders were kind of saying this is being fulfilled and they're pouring kind of buckets of water down the steps of steps of the temple and, you know, saying, look, there's a river. That must have just been so infuriating to the Lord. But anyway, he stands up. Verse 37 says, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And verse 38 says, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Here's the river of living water we're looking for. You know, we're looking for that river to flow out of our church here in Clearwater and out of our fellowship. But I was just kind of struck, where does the river flow from? You know, Jesus says, out of his heart, or out of our, you know, the King James says belly, but it's out of us. It's from us that the rivers of living water flow. And you almost get the picture of the church, not as a building, but of many little tributaries coming together in one place. And from that, a river is formed. And it's a mighty flow. Now, I think we can understand that in the natural, you know, you think of mighty rivers, but if you, you know, explorers back in the day, you know, Lewis and Clark and different ones explored rivers and they went all the way to their source, and pretty much every river in the world, if you go all the way to the source, where does it start? This tiny little tributary stream. And in fact, one of the, well, the biggest river in the U.S. is the Mississippi. Where does that originate? Well, if you go to a lake all the way up in Minnesota, where I think I wrote the name down. I can't remember the name, but you can look it up later. But there's a little lake, and from it, a stream comes. So I think that lake is spring-fed, and the stream goes out of it. And it's just a little thing. In fact, you can kind of like skip across it. You can almost jump. It's a little bit too wide to jump, but it, you know, it's nothing. It's just a little stream. It's ankle deep. But as you follow that, it joins about 250 other tributaries to form the Mississippi, which at some points, you know, there's parts where it's a part of a lake that's, you know, mile, like 11 miles wide. That doesn't count to me. But when it's a river, there's parts where like it's 2 miles wide. A river, that's pretty big. That's massive. But it starts as a little tributary. But, you know, that really speaks to of the church, and we want the river of God. Well, is it going to be just some miraculous thing that God just kind of causes to flow out of our building here? No. It's a river that he forms in each of our lives, and as we come together, something flows out that will have an impact on our community, on our surroundings, on the people who will seek to come into the river and be cleansed. That's another part of Ezekiel's vision, is people coming into the river And they come in, they test it out to the ankles and then to the knees and then to the waist, and it's waters to swim in. But you know, there is no river unless there's an outflow from our lives. And that's what we so desperately need. Lord, let there be an outflow. Now, we could probably do a whole series on that. It might be interesting, the outflow of the river. But, you know, I wanted to look at some practical aspects, and really one specifically, that can help us jumpstart an outflow in our church, in our relationship with the Lord, and a flow. And I wanted to look at a verse found in Revelation. And this is where we see the Apostle John. You know, he beholds a heavenly being and has some interaction with him. But in Revelation 19, verse 10, it says, "I fell at his feet to worship him." So John was just overwhelmed with the glory of this being, not the Lord, just someone in heaven. Their glory was just shining. And he said unto me, "See that you do it not. I am your fellow servant of your brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God." And here's the key. "For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." And so John is just so overwhelmed. He falls down in awe. And this being says, "Don't worship me. I'm just giving you a testimony," right? And this, you know, this heavenly being was a testimony itself, but that it was to flow through these visions and revelations, through this prophetic flow that John was receiving and then giving to the church. But, you know, that statement, "the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy," you know, that it's that prophetic flow that gives us an understanding of the kingdom of God, of God's ways. And in one sense, that makes us the testimony of Jesus Christ, is through this prophetic flow. And so that's a part of that outflow of the river of God. And I just wanted to look at a bit at this gift, you know, of having the gift of the Spirit flowing in our midst, because that is what helps open up the flow of the Spirit. And the Apostle Paul talked an awful lot, so we'll be looking at Corinthians, a few verses here. But, you know, he says this in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 12. And he says, even so, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. And so Paul, he was encouraging his believers to develop their spiritual gifts and to be zealous in doing that, to flow in the spiritual gifts. But there's a specific result, that you may excel to the edifying of the church. You know, when there's a flow, it's edifying. Well, a flow of the Spirit, right? Other things can flow. But we're looking for a flow of the Spirit, and it edifies. That's actually an architectural term. It means to build up, to make sound, right? To strengthen. If you know, maybe something gets built and you can move it and it's rickety, what do you need to do? You need to add more support, nail some more 2x4s or something to strengthen it, and then it becomes solid. And so, you know, that's what we are to do with our outflow. We're to encourage and strengthen when someone's, you know, weary or nervous or something. We're to help them and be a support and a strength to them. And a lot of that is through the gifts of the Spirit. And Paul's not just talking to pastors here. He's talking to the church, and he's given the whole church a commission, right, that we are to excel to the edifying of one another, a building up. You are to build one another up. And, you know, and so in one sense, that is the ministry of each one of us. Each one in the church, we're called to the building ministry. And, you know, we're to be living temples. The Lord is to dwell in our midst. And, you know, he wants to come into his temple, but his temple has to be built. His temple has to be strengthened. And, you know, thank God we don't have to travel to another nation just to go into the temple of God. But he's, you know, his temple is with us because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And he's built us on a good foundation, which is the rock of Christ, his truth, his ways. And he wants to flow out of our temple like a river. And one of the ways that happens is the gifts of the Spirit And then I wanted to look at one specific gift in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1. It said, where Paul says, pursue love. Now this, he's just finished the love chapter, chapter 13. He says, pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. And so, you know, as I just said, we can read through the whole chapter 13 of what is the principal thing in life. It is love. How love's the pinnacle, it's the ultimate. But then it's like 14 switches to, oh, what's the purpose of love? It's to edify. It's to build up. It's to strengthen. And so love uses the gifts to edify others. And then what does Paul say? But especially that you might prophesy. You know, we're to love all the spiritual gifts. We're to follow them. We're to pursue them. We're to press towards them kind of with an intensity and a purpose, but we are to prophesy. You know, and as far as the concept of the gifts, you know, there's a picture in the Old Testament of the priest, and they used to have the priestly robes, and the Lord was really specific for how those robes had to look and the things they had to have on them, the hems and so forth. And around the bottom of the priest's robe on the hem, it describes the robe having pomegranates and bells. It had pomegranates and bells. And pomegranates in the Word of God speak of love. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit. But bells speak of the gifts. And so it's like we have to have that balance. We have to have love. But how is love perfected and how is love shown? It's through the gifts, actually. You can't really have one without the other in demonstrating the love of God. And so the Lord wants his fruit to flow of love, but in one sense, it's demonstrated through these gifts. And it's as if he's here saying, above all, we need love, but concerning the gifts, we have to seek and follow those, that they flow in our lives, and especially that we prophesy. You know, so above all, we need that prophetic flow in our midst, because that's how we build each other up and we build the kingdom of God. And I think that's because there's such power in the flow of the Word of God, you know, given in prophecy in our midst. Because Paul goes on to describe what happens when prophecy flows in the church. And this is back in 1 Corinthians 14 and then verse 24. He says, but if all prophesy, if everyone prophesies and there comes in one that believes not, or he's unlearned, he's convinced of all, he's judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he'll worship God and report, God is in you, in a truth. You know, and so it's like there's something about prophecy that can get right into someone's heart, even more than someone just standing up and giving a sermon. But when there's a prophetic flow, it's just, it gets right to the heart. I remember Pastor Bailey, actually, there was, you know, prophetic flow can go, mix with a sermon, because I know there's a story Pastor Bailey shared about, you know, this pastor in France and how he, you know, he couldn't think of an illustration. So he said, Lord, give me an illustration. And the Lord showed him some lady trying to wash her clothes and someone else taking her place, you know, that it was her clothes washing day and someone else took her place and she got all mad at this lady. And then she went to church all still in a huff because of this. And the pastor shared that what he saw in that illustration. And it was exactly what had happened to that lady during the week. That was a prophetic flow right in the middle of a sermon. And the lady came up to the pastor afterwards and said, who told you what I did? And he said, no one told me. The Lord told me. He gave me that. And it cut right to the heart. You see, it's that prophetic flow. And, you know, in one sense, there's an order for prophecy. We want to do everything decently and in order. And so at the appropriate time, God gives us a word, we give it out. But, you know, there's a prophetic flow that God wants to have in our conversations, in our lives, where the Lord can speak through us. You know, he can give us a word. Now, we don't want a ministry of just going around giving people words, right? That's a part of the decent lean in order. You know, we want to be led by the Spirit, quickened, but yet we can open ourselves and say, Lord, Is there something I can say that would bring life in this situation, that would encourage, that would strengthen? Is there a verse I could share? You know, we want that prophetic flow through our lives. And, you know, there's another story. There's a certain pastor, and he came into the baptism of the Holy Spirit before his wife. And so they actually ended up going to different churches, because she still went to an evangelical church and he went to a charismatic church. But one day she joined him to go to the charismatic church. And there was a guest speaker up there on the platform, and didn't know either of them. And he, halfway through his message, he stopped and he looked at the wife who had just come to this church for the first time. And he started prophesying about her life and, you know, and sharing and so forth. How'd you like that? Someone, you know, your first time to a church, someone stops speaking and prophesies directly to you, you know, on the spot. But yet it impacted her. And that's actually what brought her into the baptism of the Spirit. You know, that flow of prophecy is what it, you know, it's like Paul said, we're convinced of all, we're judged of all. She knew it was God speaking directly to her, the Lord testifying to her through the spirit of prophecy. You know, and so there's power in that prophetic flow coming into the people of God and flowing out like a river. Back in 1 Corinthians 14, this time in verse 4, Paul says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, right? So there's another gift. We want the gift of speaking in tongues, because that builds us up, and we need that. You know, but look at this. He that prophesies edifies the body, the church, all of us. And so, you know, Paul, we know he made a big deal about speaking in tongues. He said, I speak in tongues more than all of you. And, you know, he wasn't necessarily a boastful man. And so I assume he literally meant that when he had downtime, maybe he was building his tents or whatever, or just walking on a journey, he was speaking in tongues because he wanted to be built up. He wanted to edify his own spirit. And so he spoke in tongues. And that's another component. If we want a flow out from our lives, we need to flow in. And that's where the Holy Spirit can edify and strengthen us. But when we're gathered together, it's not speaking in tongues that makes the difference. It's prophecy. It's the prophetic flow. And so that's why Paul said in verse 19, so 1 Corinthians 14, 19, he said, yet in church, I would rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others, than 10,000 words speaking in tongues, right, in an unknown tongue. So just five little words can make a great impact, because we're allowing the Spirit to speak through us. You know, and then back in verse 3, he's 1 Corinthians 14:3, but he that prophesies speaks unto men unto edification, exhortation, and comfort. And that's the real purpose, you know, is that God wants to speak through us, and he wants to edify, exhort, and comfort. And sometimes you're like, how do I know this word is from the Lord, or is this even, you know, right? Well, this is the test. Does it edify? Does it exhort? Does it comfort? Then give the word and just see what happens. Now, if it doesn't meet that, if it's a scathing rebuke against someone that has really made you mad, you might want to hold back, because that's not going to meet the test. You know, does it edify, exhort, comfort? Now, God can speak something that goes beyond those things. Actually, really, I think they all fall under that line, because sometimes to edify, there's correction to bring people back in. So I'm not saying that prophecy is never correction, but yet it must fall under these categories. That's the purpose. And, you know, even for my wife and I, some of the most memorable and powerful experiences we've had are when people have given us words or prophecies, you know, that have directed our lives and put us in a pathway. And we've reaped the fruit from that, but it's from that prophetic flow. where people get a word from the Lord and they share it. And there's such power in that. But, you know, there's another benefit that sometimes we don't think about too much, but there's a benefit for those who give the prophecy, those who allow the flow to come into their lives. Sometimes I think it benefits the giver just as much, you know, than those who hear it, those who receive it, because it's allowing that flow of the Spirit to take place in their life, in their temple. And you know, I remember the story of one person who was praying to get victory in an area. And so they kind of got some counsel from a godly pastor, and the pastor was kind of thinking about it and just responded, you know, I feel like the answer for your situation is you need to prophesy, you know, because that flow is going to come and that's going to help you with the situation that you're facing. And so there's a certain level of victory that can come as we allow a greater portion of the Spirit of God to flow through our lives. And, you know, it might start small. In fact, Paul says, just 5 words. That's all you need. You know, just speak 5 little words and let the Spirit flow. And, you know, so that can be effective, but yet we're going to believe for an increase that the Lord will work. Now, Paul gives some other reminders, some other helpful words in 2 Timothy. And this one's in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6. And he says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God that is in you by the putting on of my hands. And other translations say, rekindle the flame of the gift of God. Rekindle the flame. You know, we've probably all been around campfires, you know, where you had a nice bonfire or something burning and, you know, put the logs on it and it's just kind of roaring. And I remember we used to do that, or we still do that for our youth camps and youth retreats. And, you know, after service, we'd come out and they'd have the fire just roaring and we'd have snacks and such. But if you stay long enough, it would just burn down until there's just a little bed of coals and, you know, the kind of, there's not much there. And usually I'm in bed by that time, but so the younger ones like to stay up late. But, you know, when that happens, you have 2 options. You let it go out or you stir it up and you rekindle it. And, you know, it's more than just putting fuel on the fire. Sometimes that's not enough if it gets too low. If you put fuel on the fire, it can smother it. So you have to get the poker out and you got to stir the coals around and distribute the fire to sometimes that's a little unsettling, right? To be stirred up and so forth. But, you know, the fire can't be contained to just one little area. It needs to be distributed to all the areas. And so sometimes if we want light and we want life in our, you know, in our spiritual bodies, we need a stirring up. And this can be true for speaking in tongues, you know, as well. And the other gifts is that we don't want to let the fire burn down too low. And that's why, you know, the Apostle Paul said, I don't let my fire burn down one bit. I speak in tongues more than you all. And so, you know, he spoke in tongues daily. I think that's what we can understand him to be. And so he did not let the fire burn down on that. But also with prophecy, you know, sometimes we can let it go dormant for a while. And I found that even for myself to be the case. And sometimes I think, boy, I haven't prophesied in a while. What's with that? You know, well, I'm just say, Lord, here I am. If you want to speak, I've found that if I do that, I don't prophesy too much. But other times if I say, Lord, would you speak? Lord, is there a word you would like to speak? He gives words, you know? And that's where it comes into that realm. You have not because you ask not, as James says. And so, you know, there's an aspect of prophecy. It's a gift that has to be stirred up. Our flesh would rather not sometimes, right? Especially if you're a reserved person. It's not comfortable to step out and say something that you don't really know what you're about to say sometimes, but you're trusting the Lord. But yet there's a stepping out in faith that stirs up and releases a flow of the Spirit of God. But that's where we have to put our flesh on the cross and trust in the Lord, that he's with us and he's going to do a work. And of course, sometimes you give it and you have like, well, that was a lead balloon. But you never know the effect in someone's heart. And so you have to trust God. Lord, well, Lord, I gave it, but I'm going to trust that you did. Even if it didn't do anything in someone else, it did something in me because I stepped out in faith, believing. And so we can trust and believe that as we allow the gifts to flow, two things are happening, right? The first is we're allowing the Holy Spirit to flow through us. Right? It brings life to the speaker or to the one sharing, the one ministering. It brings strength, it brings victory, as well as to those who we're sharing with, because we're edifying, we're building up, right? We're active in that ministry of being builders in the kingdom of God. And we're not called just to build ourselves up, although it's good that we do, but our true calling is to build up others through the work of the Spirit of God together. And so as we worship here together, I want to encourage you, just start asking the Lord, Lord, would you give me a word? Lord, is there a little encouraging word? Even if it's only 5 words, it can build up and strengthen others, and it will do a work in you as well as the Spirit starts to flow. Lord, I want your life to flow. And so that's our goal. Lord, let your life flow out of our midst, out of this building, you know, because we're all those little tributaries that as we come together, the river of God can flow. You know, there's a flow from our spirits as we praise, as we worship, and as we operate in the gifts, as the Holy Spirit is ministering, his people are built up and his river is going to flow. And Lord, that's our desire. Lord, we long for a flow of your Spirit. Lord, we long for a stream to come and that stream could flow through our lives in a new way. And so we just ask, Holy Spirit, would you come and would you meet with us? Would you even, Lord, quicken and move in our lives in a new way? Lord, we just want to be vessels, Lord, fit for your use. And Lord, one of those ways is just flowing in your gifts, flowing in your Spirit. Lord, so we just come asking for more of you. Lord, as you told us, Lord, you will not correct those who come asking for the good things of your Spirit. And so we're just coming afresh today. Lord, we're asking for an increase. Lord, we're asking for a greater flow in this church. So Lord, that means there needs to be a greater flow in our lives. Would you do it, oh Lord? Lord, flow in a new way. Open up, Lord, the realm of your Spirit that you could speak through us. Lord, that you would make us edifiers and those who build up the people of God. Lord, do that through the power of your Spirit, we ask. And we thank you. We give you all the praise and honor and glory. Thank you for the gift of your Spirit. Oh, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The Lord bless you.